Hello, everybody. Larry McCarron, podcasting with head coach Mike McCarthy. And Mike, you have been getting off to fast starts, not only collectively 3-0, but also individual games, which kind of says you're ready to play. Your team is ready to play. Now, this is just my personal opinion, and disagree with me, but I've always thought part of being ready to play in combative sports is an emotional commitment. Now, if you think that has any merit, as the head coach, how do you go about fostering emotional commitment, promoting it?
I think that's an excellent point. I think, number one, getting a football team on a routine and really having roles and responsibilities all the way through the process is something that I've learned helps our whole team, our whole structure, coaches and everything, to be better prepared as we go into the game. And for example, that just – incorporating opportunities for leadership, whether it's, you know, the selection of, you know, we select three captains for each game, and one of those captains will speak after the prayer to the team. So actually a player is the last person to speak to your football team before you go out on the field. Frankly, that was hard for me to do a number of years ago, but it's one of the better things that we've done. I think your final message, how you tap things off Saturday night's important. And frankly, playing at home the last 2 weeks and having a team meeting, you know, in the highlight tape and all that right before the game, I think helps. I know the players, you know, they prefer it. They do like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it does show the leadership on your team. I think our older guys have really fostered, you know, the importance of fast starts because, hey, and it's probably going to happen at some point in the season. Hey, I hope it doesn't, but, you know, the ball will go crazy and start bouncing the other way, and you get in these games where three or four plays and, you know, all of a sudden you're playing uphill. You have to have ways to overcome that, and really the best plan of action is to come out fast, you know, with your emotion intact, discipline and motion, and getting after the opponent. Playing at home helps a lot, but the real challenge is when you go on the road.
Mike, watching you practice this week, no pads, going to be no pads this week. And if I had a bet, I would think your team is going to come out with, despite the short week, despite the long trip, with a lot of energy and ready to go, okay? And the question I have for you, guys in the coaching business are kind of wired, we got to get our work in. Now, is it difficult, even though you know it's the right thing, is it difficult to back off?
Well, it's the reality of our profession. I mean, injuries, short weeks. I mean, it's all part of the scheduling, and there are weeks where you have to, you know, swing more of your responsibility to the mental, and there's other weeks where you're able to balance it out between the physical and the mental, and this is clearly a mental preparation week. I mean, that's something that we all, coaches, players, support staff, all had to accept, recognize, and dive into, you know, as the week progressed, and it's been a good mental week. I think the guys have been sharp. You know, we've been smart with them at practice. You know, and they appreciate it, but really it's the best thing to do for us to be ready for the game. And that's, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line for every schedule that's put together. But this has clearly been a mental preparation week because this is a huge hurdle to get 4-0. You think about it, we've played two really physical football games, both night games, so you got, you know, less time to recover going on a short week. Now you got the long flight out to San Jose, you know, how we handle that. You know, one bottle for every hour you're on the flight, Larry, so make sure you drink your five bottles.
Are you talking water or beer?
Well, hydration, so we're going to stick to the water. I don't know what you do in the back of the plane, but that's your business. But, it's important for just all those things, and the older guys know that. I mean, it's little things, too, wearing the tights, you know, for when you travel, battle the inflammation, and this, you know. So it's part of the education, our young guys will respond, and more importantly, it's that personal time that they have out there from the end of practice on Saturday, you know, till the night meeting is an important time, too, because, you know, hydration, different climate. But going out on Friday will really give us a chance to get acclimated. This is the right thing to do, and we'll be ready to play Sunday.
You talk about that personal time, Mike. Now, you guys will have some extra time. Now, as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, will you have any personal time at all where you can just be a guy and do whatever you feel like for a couple hours? You know what I mean?
Not really. I mean, it's it's a little better now, not calling the offense, because frankly, on the road, I pretty much was in my hotel room the whole time. I may go down and walk around the ballroom area, just make sure, you know, check on things or so forth. But you know, between working on the call sheet and getting a good workout in, that's really the highlight of my time on the road. So you know, I still have call sheet responsibilities because I have different types of sheets now with the offense, defense, and special teams, game management, things like that. So that's where I really spend my time. But it's, you know, it's nice to maybe get outside and walk around a lot. But I get apprehensive if I go out to dinner, because you know, I feel like I should be doing something else, because I just have never been able to really do that. So usually when people that, if I do have family at a game or something, they've come to custom of eating dinner in the hotel room. So that's, it kind of works out.
Mike, in 2005, you are the offensive coordinator for the 49ers. And I didn't follow it game by game, but big picture, my recollection is that it was a team, folks-wise, talent-wise, that was challenged offensively, and probably keeping games close was somewhat of a moral victory. Just didn't have a lot of folks. And I would think, and I don't know this for a fact, that statistically, as an offensive coordinator, might have been your poorest year. And yet, after that season, the Green Bay Packers come a-calling, and the rest is history. What's the backstory on that? Were you surprised after that season? How did that unfold?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's a great lesson to every young coach that aspires to be a head coach. You know, it's your body of work that gets you the interview. Then once you get the interview, you have to go in and get the job. And that's the reality of this business. Now, there's other things that go on that are outside of your control, but that's really what you can control as a coach. My experience in San Francisco was definitely challenging. I think Mike Nolan him and Scott McClellan did an unbelievable job the year I was out there, because of the state of the franchise, you know, what it was like when they arrived. The players that we had there, I mean they worked hard. It was a great, you know, working environment and so forth. We were definitely stronger on defense than offense. We played that way. I can remember Mike calling me in his office. It was early in the season. I think it was against the Cowboys. We'd lost a close game, and you know, we had like 71 plays in the game. He's like, "What in the hell are you thinking about?" He says, "We're supposed to be slowing the game down. You know, we got to get down into the 50." So I've never coached offense that way, but it was the best thing for our football team. So statistically, it's obviously not what you're looking for, but you know, that's why I think you have to always look inside of statistics. But yeah, we were kind of a 4-minute offense all day long, and we were in pretty much every game. I mean, we had a number of opportunities to go win the game in 2 minutes, and frankly, we were not very successful. But good experience. I mean, it's a class organization. It was going through a huge change at that time. Everybody to a man knew that was going to be a long term, you know, project. And unfortunately, like for Mike, they had a new coordinator, new offensive coordinator every year. So, and I think that probably factored into some of those things. But yeah, trust me, I'm clearly in tune with where we were on offense that year, and I was reminded of it repeatedly when I became the head coach of the Packers. But I think it's the body of work. And you know, just having I was just thankful for the opportunity to interview and came in and just gave it my best shot and things worked out. But I don't think I got the interview based off of our offensive rank in 2005, that's for sure.
If you don't mind me asking, now when you interviewed, did you walk out of the building thinking, nailed it? Did you feel real good about it?
Well, I mean, you know Ted Thompson. You've known Ted longer than I have, because I mean, I worked here in '99, and also Ted was on the personnel staff. But you know, Ted and I really didn't have a relationship, because you know, Ted was gone a lot, and you know, I was really only here not even a year. I think I was here about 10, 11 months. But so I didn't really know, you know, what I was walking into. But I knew Reggie McKenzie and knew John Snyder, and they were part of the interview process. So As you can imagine, with Ted, you know, I thought I did a good job, but you know, I had no idea what he thought. I mean, I didn't have a clue. So, you know, so when I left here, actually, John Snyder wrote me to the airport, and he's like, "Well, how do you think it went?" I said, "I thought it went good, but I says, hell, you can't read Ted, you know, I have no idea." And John goes, "Yeah," he said, "don't worry about that." He goes, "You know, no, I thought it was good." And he said, "Just, you know, we'll be in touch." And, you know, he was real positive. And I just, you know, it didn't feel right when I got out of the car. So I got out of the car, I remember coming around a corner. And God forbid some friendly cameraman was standing there from a local TV station. And, you know, he wanted an interview. And I was like, get the hell away from me. I just got on the plane. I didn't know what to think, you know, because Marty Schottenheimer, you know, his advice to me was when you go into that, be a head coach interviews, he's like, you just be yourself. And he said, and if they don't want to hire Mike McCarthy, then he said, then that's their fault. And I says, okay, that's it? He goes, that's it. I said, okay, thanks, coach. I go, man, I'm hoping for a little more than that, you know, because I didn't know what the heck to expect. But I think that's what you have to do. You go in, you show them what your plan is and what your philosophy is. And, you know, Ted made it clear in the opening of the interview, he was looking for someone that he can build a program with, and he was looking for someone that he could have a partnership with and do things the right way. And we've done that, and very thankful for him selecting me to be the head coach.
If you permit, one more question in this arena. What was it like when you get the call and, yep, we're doing it. You're our new head coach in Green Bay, and you're taking over the Green Bay Packers. How did you feel at that call?
Oh, it was emotional. I can imagine. I was actually at lunch in downtown Austin, and I mean, it was crazy because, like I said, I think I left here because the season was over on Sunday. You know, I worked in San Francisco, like Monday through Thursday, and I flew to Green Bay on Friday. You know, had the interview Saturday morning, but I flew to Austin to see my daughter because the 49ers coaches, we were on vacation. So I'm down in Austin, Texas. You know, I get down there Saturday and you know, see my daughter, and she's like, well, you know, how'd it go? I said, I don't know. They said they're going to call in about a week or so. So it goes, a couple days go on. Well, Ted calls me on Monday. And he says, hey, just we're sitting here kicking around a few things, kicking some tires or you know. He says, and he goes, hey, I was just wondering. So he asked me this question, like really basic question. I'm like, we talked about that in the interview, you know. So I gave him the answer, and he goes, okay. He says, hey, just you have a good day. Just checking in. I said, okay. And I go, you know, it was a little awkward, but so I hang the phone up, and I thought, hell, I'm in this thing, you know. I got a chance. So then the reality was like, holy shnikes, I don't have a suit. If I get this job, I you know, I'm going to be flying from Austin. I don't have a suit down there. So I go to this men's store and go in. I says, yeah, I need a nice suit and this and that. He's like, okay. And he says, it's going to be a week. I said, week? I said, I need it tomorrow. And so this goes on. And we picked the suit out and so forth, and They get the suit done, or they're working on getting the suit done, and then he calls me. He calls me on Wednesday. I'm at lunch, and I had to walk outside to take the call. And I remember I was in a parking lot, and he told me, and I was just like, I was blown away. As you know me, Larry, I was emotional, and I actually got back in my car and I ran over to the suit guy. He says, hey, I said, I need that suit today. I know I told you Thursday, but I need it today. And it was a young man working at the clothing store there, and so I had to tell him, because, you know, typical Teddy, says he offers me the job, but he's like, well, you can't tell anybody. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm over there telling the guy at the clothing store that, hey, you can't tell anybody, but I got this big job in Green Bay, and I need a suit. The press conference is on Friday. So, you know, he obviously got it done late that night, and then because they actually called me back late that night. Bob Harlan was, because Friday was the 13th, and Bob Harlan says, I'm not having a press conference on Friday the 13th. He says, we're going to have it the next day. So then, I mean, so I was really scrambling to get there, but new suit fit and everything worked out. My daughter and I flew up. That was a great moment. Actually, John Snyder was on the flight. They came down, picked us up at the airport, and flew in. And I can remember Scott was the pilot, and we were coming up in the Green Bay, and he says, "Hey, check this side." He tilted the plane. We went right above the practice field, and then went right over Lambeau Field. And that was a really cool moment for my daughter and I. So that's something that we'll always remember.
You know, you mentioned your press conference, and I remember two things about it. Is number one, you came out with a mission statement. And I've been around here since 1973. First time I ever saw the new Packer head coach, and I'd been through several with a mission statement. And the other thing that really stood out is you said, and you've said it since, but this is the first time I heard it, you said, "Our biggest challenge will be dealing with success." And I thought, there's some confidence there. Mm-hmm. When you know, taking over a new program, you know, we're not worried about this. Our biggest challenge will be doing good. I thought that was interesting.
And it's true. I've always felt that was the challenge in the National Football League, and because there's different devils on every level. And that's something you learn over time. And frankly, Larry, our theme this week for the 49ers is respond. And usually you think the term respond is coming after, you know, a tough moment, but we're responding to the fact that we've had success the last 3 weeks. How are we going to respond? How are we going to respond to the fact that we have a short week? How are we going to respond to the fact that we have to go play in a hot climate? How are we going to respond that we have to go across the country and be on a different schedule? And how are we going to respond that we're playing a team that just got beat last week, you know, by a division opponent? They're a wounded type animal mentality. How are we going to respond to that? So it's all about handling success. These men will always jump up and react to controversy or conflict, and conflict is good. That's why they are where they are. The professional football athlete's a special human being, and so the tough times I never thought were the challenge, because that's what's a big part of their mettle and why they're able to make it to the NFL. It's the people that I see more people fail because they can't handle the success of making a team, the success of being a starter, the success of getting a new contract, the success of winning 3-4 in a row. Those are all the challenges, and it's something that we talk about all the time. And really, just going back to the press conference, a mission statement was a little too long, frankly. But you know, I'm a big believer in setting a vision and a direction, and I thought that was appropriate because, I mean, let's be real here. I mean, I walked in that press conference. I think the only people who are smiling were my family. I mean, I wasn't the favorite to get the job. So, and I got that. You know, frankly, that's a big reason why, you know, I was offered a 4-year contract or a 3-year contract, and I took the 3-year because I felt, you know, something. You know, I'm going to go in there and show them. You know, I knew Bob Harlan. I knew what he was all about, and was blessed to work here in the past. And you know, I knew Ted and a number of guys in the personnel department, so I thought, heck, they're gonna give me a really good opportunity here, and let's go for it.
Mike, don't care about the whens or wheres, but it's out there. You're gonna practice tomorrow in San Francisco. It's been my experience observing; those are usually terrific practices. Have you noticed that? And is there a mystical reason? Is it the change of scene or just the break in routine? What do you think?
I think a lot of it's just a bunch of guys from Green Bay that are excited to get out there in some good weather. But you know, if you go back to the, you know, NFC Championship game, I mean, that's Saturday practice. I mean, our football team bounced off the field that day and back on the buses. I mean, I don't know if I was ever so confident for any big game in my life. But the ability of our support staff, and you cannot give, you know, Russ Ball, Matt Klein, Doug Collins, Red Batty, you know, Flea and our whole Mark Lovato, all those guys, to be able to take this practice environment and then have it emulated in another city, you know, it also speaks volumes about our organization, particularly Mark Murphy, that they allow us to spend the funds to do that. So our practice tomorrow will look exactly the same as our practice, you know, that we have here on every Saturday. And that's important because we need that. And plus we need it in the new climate. It really helps our players get acclimated, and you know, and we're blessed to have those resources.
Final thing for you, Mike, talking about the last practice of the week. And you're spending more time, like, with the defense and so forth, but this has been going on for a while. Your guys getting together in the huddle before that last practice and kind of the offensive walk-through, jog-through type thing, and throwing Randall Cobb about 10 feet in the air. Yeah. They do that. And then the last play of that little portion, the linemen play the skill positions. And like last week, Aaron Rodgers was the center and Randall Cobb's the guard and things like that. And those guys come up with some really neat stuff, and seeing some of those linemen make plays, I mean, it's a riot, but it's really kind of fun to watch too, isn't it? Did you tell them do this or?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it'll get to a point here in a couple of weeks where we're going to have to go in and tone it down a little bit, but I can't watch it anymore. I mean, it scares the hell out of me. I mean, some of the things these guys do, but you know, the most important thing is that they get warmed up and stretched out and all that before they do it. But I mean, it's fun. I mean, to me, that's all part of the group dynamics, and in our offenses, maxes out that opportunity. I would say that, you know, Aaron and Josh sitting, those TJ Lang, that are the ringleaders, and you know, they have a lot of fun with it, and it's good. It's healthy. This game is supposed to be fun, and you can't wait till Sunday to have fun. I mean, you got to have some fun during the preparation, and that's something we've always believed in. I mean, now you know, outside, these guys work extremely hard. They're sharp. You know, I mean it. We'd put our football IQ up against anybody's. So it is a fun moment for people outside of the coaching staff. Or really, I know Mick's, you know, you just always worry about, you know, getting hurt. I mean, seeing Randall Cargo flying up in the air, that's like, that's not a really smart thing to do, you know. But you do got some big guys that are going to make sure they catch him and everything works out okay.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good trip.
All right. Thank you, Larry.